This episode of The Compendium was sponsored by Envisage Life Coach, my own private coaching practice helping people clarify their career calling and creating a more fulfilling life for themselves. Check out the show notes to learn more. Welcome to The Compendium, a resource that's designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing. Now that we know how to move, as you move around, things can happen in your environment that could hurt you. One of those things is falling. Using our pit example, for example, maybe it's, you know, a 20-foot pit and there's nothing at the bottom. It's just a really long drop and you don't make your jump. You roll a nat one and you've already said you're going to jump. And so you tumble down. There are mechanics for how you calculate damage that's dealt by your environment that doesn't come from a stat block of a monster or something similar. Ones that I kind of had listed were falling, suffocating, or drowning. And then another one that we'll get into in just a second. But those are like the main ones that, you know, you get thrown into a lake and it freezes over and you can't get up for air. You know, you fall, a rock falls and hits you on the head. How do you usually handle environmental damage?
I usually use the rules as written, actually. What I do for falling is every 10 feet they fall, it's a D6 of bludgeoning damage and with a maximum of 200 feet that they can fall of 20 D6.
That doesn't seem appropriate. I feel like there's still high level characters that could totally survive 20 D6 and nobody could survive a 200 foot fall.
That's actually not true.
Okay.
There are stories of people who have survived planes exploding in the air and landing on a mountainside and walking their way out. There's a Russian stewardess in the 70s who that happened
really?
To. She totally survived, broke her leg, other minor damages, but she totally recovered, survived, and went on to fly in other airplanes, which I would not do. It's possible. It's just not likely.
Okay, again, remember,
these are heroes. These are adventurers. They have class levels. They can survive more things. But there's a famous episode of Critical Role where someone jumps off a cliff and thinking they're going to be fine, and they super weren't, and they died, and they had to like ask the gods to bring them back. So it's not foolproof, but monks can reduce this damage. Rage will reduce this damage because it's just bludgeoning damage, right? There's no modifier to it. It's just straight rolls. You can minimize it. If you do take any of that damage, you do fall prone when you land, Wile E. Coyote style. And if you avoid all the damage, you land on your feet like a monk probably would if they're sufficient level.
The superhero pose?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And if you're smart, you'll cast Thunder Wave when you land.
Just I love awesome. It. Just for effect.
That
would totally warrant an inspiration point.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, which we should talk about. And the cap there is 20 D6. And I guess the idea there is to keep people from spamming that kind of damage and like teleporting them up a mile up and letting them fall to their deaths. The max damage is still 20 D6.
Are you speaking from experience?
What? I don't know.
I witnessed that event.
Yeah,
so.
You did actually.
It sounds familiar.
But it's terminal velocity. So what Casey's referring to is that I was in a battle royale with a character where it was player versus player, and the barbarian was giving me trouble. So I cast reverse gravity, and everyone was like, "Oh yeah, good move." I was like, "And when he reaches the top, I stop concentrating on it." And they're like, "What?" And he falls and takes a ton of damage, but rage. So it didn't kill him and I lost.
It was still brilliant.
It was still fun to do. I've been dreaming about it for weeks. There's plenty of things to do that. And also too, I would say too, if you're going to drop something on somebody, like if you have telekinesis as a via the spell or the ring of telekinesis, and you want to drop a boulder on somebody, well then the damage you would calculate there is the same way. It falling on them or them falling on it, it's the same idea.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I would do that. And then suffocating or drowning, basically losing your oxygen, there's a pretty simple thing. I think we've talked about this before, but basically is you can hold your breath for 1 plus your constitution modifier.
Minutes.
Per minute. Right. So if you have a constitution of 14, that's a modifier of 2. So you can hold your breath for 3 minutes. They specify in here for a minimum of 30 seconds is the kind of cap on that, which is kind of funny. But it also says that once you reach that point, you're officially out of breath. And now you can survive only the number of rounds equal to the constitution modifier before you just drop to zero, and then start taking death saves. So once you run out of air, that's when it gets really kind of hardcore, because you just have like that many rounds left and that's it. Nothing you can do. Can't get new air. You're done. It's one of the only kind of insta-death kind of things that can happen naturally. But the fact that most players can hold their, characters can hold their breath for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes before they get there is kind of the grace period before that insta-death.
Can so I just acknowledge that I realized in that same battle royale, you used both of these things to your advantage?
I did, yeah.
You're talking, I'm like, wait, you used both of these at the same time in the same game.
Yeah, I trapped someone in a force cube, which has no way of getting out with a water elemental till they drowned. It's fun to know the rules.
Yeah. And I'm glad that we mentioned that, because that's a great example of ways that this isn't just a cause and effect of mm-hmm. you're adventuring and you fall and this happens. You can dream up some really creative ways, either as a DM or as a player, mm-hmm. to use these mechanics to your advantage in some different ways.
Any character can actually use the push or the shove action as their attack. One of their attacks. To knock someone prone or push someone back 5 feet, potentially pushing them into a fireplace or off a cliff or a bridge where they could fall and take damage. And if you have something like multi-attack as a fighter or a monk or something, it doesn't replace your attack action. It replaces one of your attacks. So you can push someone down with the shove and then attack them while they're prone as per the condition with advantage. Mm-hmm. With your other attacks. So that's kind of fun too. So there's plenty of the ways that you can use some of this stuff in combat as well.
Right. The last thing that I had on my list that sort of falls into this category, but sort of doesn't, which is why I didn't mention it right up front, is in the Dungeon Master's Guide, there's also a section for diseases. Mm-hmm. Which I classified as environmental damage because could enter a population where it's you know, being affected by a global pandemic.
What's that like, I wonder?
Beard stroke. can you stroke your beard for me since I don't have one? Thank you. Yes. So this, you know, there actually is a full section on some different diseases that you could use that are pre-generated. That's on in the Dungeon Master's Guide on page 256.
Truly horrible.
But I wanted to throw that in there more so as like a conversation and a story generating idea, where your group could enter into a town, you know, after their first day of their 2-day travel. They go to the inn because they just need to rest for the night before they get on the road the next morning, and they don't realize that there's a plague sweeping through the town. Or maybe they get to the town and there's big quarantine signs outside of it that are stating, warning, do not enter, enter at your own risk, plague in progress, whatever. So they have to make the choice of risking catching this illness or traveling through the night, or, you know, being subjected to sleeping in the woods and having a higher risk of things waking them up and attacking them. So it's just a really interesting idea on how you can integrate environmental damage to inspire story elements.
Yeah, exactly. And also too, in this same section that we were back here in the adventuring section, it talks about downtime activities. And one of the things you can do is recuperate. And it says that after 3 days of downtime, where you're just kind of chilling, you can make a DC 15 constitution saving throw. And on a successful save, you can do one of the following. You could end one effect on you that prevents you from regaining hit points. For the next 24 hours, gain advantage on saving throws against one disease or poison currently affecting you. So there's even rules in here in the adventuring section of how you can non-magically try to kick one of these diseases and then also the diseases that are in the back there of the Dungeon Master's Guide. It kind of talks about some of the effects, how to catch it, incubation times, and also some of the possible cures. But then again, there's always things like cure disease, lesser and greater restoration spells that would kind of do this for you in an insta kind of way. But there's other options.
We hope that you guys enjoyed listening in this week. If you haven't already, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Jason and I really enjoy creating this content, and it definitely helps boost our charisma modifier every time we see a 5-star rating pop up. The Compendium is also on Patreon, so if you like listening, that is a great way to contribute to the content that we create. New episodes are available every Tuesday and Friday, or if you're a patron, you get them a day early, so Mondays and Thursdays. And you can always keep up with us between episodes by following us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Just look us up by searching for The Compendium. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time.